Let's take our Bibles tonight and open up to Proverbs chapter 17. I want to continue tonight where I left off this morning, talking about the pride that a child has for their dad. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 16, the Bible tells us this. Proverbs 17, verse 16. Verse 6. Proverbs 17, 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. The pride, the honor of children are their dads. And it's a good thing today, not just today, but for us today, because it is Father's Day, to look at a message dealing with what a child has to be proud of their dads for. And I hope that our kids can say, and remember, kids are of all ages. I'm not just talking to those who are still living at home kids. I hope that all of us as kids can say that we are proud of our dads. A lot of times, kids have a variety of things that give them pride where their dads are concerned. Some kids were talking in the school ground, and one boy said, "My dad is a fireman, and he's so fast, he can throw the axe, and he can run, and he can catch the axe before it ever hits the ground." The other little boy said, "Well, my dad's a policeman, and he can shoot his gun, and he can outrun the bullet." The other boy says, "That's nothing. My dad works for the city. He gets off work at 5 o'clock and he's home at 4:30. Three other kids, they're bragging about their dads. And the one kid says, "My dad is so smart, he can talk for an hour on any subject." Second kid says, "That's nothing. My dad is so smart, he can talk for 2 hours on any subject." The third kid says, "I got you beat. My dad is so smart, he can talk for 3 hours, and he doesn't need a subject." We know that dad, don't we? A school teacher was correcting papers, and as she looked at one little boy's work, she was appalled with the results. And she said, "I cannot understand how in the world one person could make so many mistakes." And the little boy says, "Oh, teacher, it wasn't just me. My daddy helped." Well, I'm pretty sure that these illustrations are not what Solomon was talking about when he was talking about the pride that children have in their dads. This morning we saw that we can be proud if our dad was saved. Proud that our dad admitted that he was lost, that he needed direction in his life, and that he knew enough and the Holy Spirit of God led him to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And then we can be proud that our dad reads the instruction manual. Proud of dads that have an open Bible policy in their life. And that they not only read the Word of God, but they apply it to their lives. They're not just readers and hearers of the Word, but they're doers of the Word. And then proud that dads work hard to provide for their family. Yes, dads may be tired and you may feel disappointed when they get home from work and they weren't able to do everything that you would have liked for them to have done. But hindsight, looking back, you realize what they sacrificed, what they gave to take care of their families, to provide for them. And so many of the things that were mentioned tonight fit into these categories. You know, dads telling you the importance of needing to be saved. Dads in God's Word. Dads that worked hard. And I think we heard that one the most. Dads that taught you how to work hard because of the example that they set. And I really like the one, dads that taught you to enjoy working and working hard. So there's a big difference between working hard and enjoying the work, right? And we ought to realize that work is there to be enjoyed, not something that we look at and we go, "Ugh, I have to work." Work was not a part of the curse, folks. Work was something that came before the curse. It is something that God did. And the work of creation, work is a good thing, and it is something that we ought to enjoy. The fourth thing, if you're keeping track of these numerically, the fourth thing tonight is this: proud that dad tells stories. Proud that dad tells stories. Now, dads, we know that we get thrown under the bus on this one. There's something called dad jokes. How many of us know what a dad joke is? It's a younger group that says, "I know what a dad joke is," because they have labeled us for telling dad jokes. Dad jokes are those things that the only people that are laughing are dads. Moms are going, "I don't know how many times I've looked at my wife and said, 'That's hilarious.'" I was like, "Oh, come on, that was good." Those are dad jokes. Or dad tells another story, you know, good old number 127 in his repertoire. And the kids say, "Dad, we've heard this before." Dads tell stories. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. There are some stories that you can really be proud of that dad tells. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, the funny thing is with the dad stories that we tell, a lot of times dads don't realize that they are repeating themselves. They don't realize they've told this story again. It's just something that they got to share. Over in Archbold, it used to be Nofsinger's Ice Cream. It's now Homestead Ice Cream. And I can remember as a kid, we used to like going over there. How many of you remember when they had the monkey out there? Oh, a bunch of you. I used to love going over there. Not for the ice cream. I wanted to watch the monkey. And I remember when we first started going over there with the kids, and I'd tell that story every year. Now, to me, it was fresh and new. A year had passed. I hadn't shared it but once. And they're looking at me like, "We know this. You've told us this." Now it's become a standing joke. Now I'll just tell it again, knowing they know the story. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, look with me at verse 4. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Go with me to the book of Joel. The book of Joel. I know we've been studying the book of Joel this past week, and it's that passage of scripture. You got the book of Daniel, and then you got the book of Hosea, then the book of Joel. That's where the gold is still gilded together on those pages. There's only three chapters, so it is very possible that it's difficult to find in your Bible. But the book of Joel, the first three verses, notice what we read here. The Bible says, "The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation." You see, the stories about the Lord and what the Lord has done and the way that the Lord has worked in our lives and the stories from the Scriptures is something that we are supposed to tell, and we are supposed to tell it again and tell it again. Remember that the Apostle Paul, he made the comment, and this is a bad paraphrase, but he said to the effect that as he was repeating the Bible stories to the people, that he knew he was repeating them, but it was for their benefit, it was for their good, it was a safe thing to do to repeat those Bible stories. You know, we need to retell the Scripture. We need to retell the events of God's Word. And that passage in Deuteronomy talks about keeping the Lord in front of our kids constantly at every step of the way. There has been a mentality that says, "Oh, you can't shove it down their throat. You can't put it on them too much. They need to grow into it. They need to learn into it," and all this kind of stuff. That's not what the Scripture teaches. The Bible teaches us that we are supposed to tell them constantly and constantly and constantly, over and over and over again, pouring it on. We cannot overdo it. And Christians, we got to make sure that we are doing that. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. And these passages of Scripture, they show dads being the worship leader of the home. Dads reading the Scripture and the Bible stories with the kids. Dads looking for opportunities to teach the Bible principles from everyday life events. Dads backing up their rules and their standards with biblical principle and Bible verses. Dads getting their families in church so everybody can hear others tell the same story. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, look with me in verse 4. The Bible says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." It is really something to be proud about if a dad has taught their children well. And if a child can look back and say, "Dad taught me well. Dad taught me the Word of God. Dad taught me faithfully the principles of Scripture." That is a dad you can be proud of. And that is something that every dad ought to be known for. I think we have had a generation and a culture that at least to some degree has done this, has brought their families up, and maybe it's generations, a few generations past. It's a different era than what we have today. Because do we realize that the generation and the era in which we live today, the greatest number of those with a religious affiliation is not Baptist, it is not Protestants, which Baptists are not Protestants, it's a different group, it is not Catholics, it is a group called the nuns, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, those who have none. No religious affiliation at all. Listen to these statistics. This is 2017, ReligionNews.com had these. There are 34% of Americans today that have no religious attachments, affiliation, attendance whatsoever. 34%. 33% are Protestant. And 22% are Catholic. Those numbers for the nuns is a growing number, while all the other numbers are dwindling. There are more and more. And the scripture that we saw in Joel said, tell your children, and the children are to tell their children, and it is to progress through the generations. If you have a generation that is not telling their children, what do you think is going to happen with that generation? They're not going to tell their children. And the group of those who are the nuns, non-affiliated, in any way, shape, or form with religion, is going to grow. And that's what we see happening in the United States of America, a quote-unquote a Christian nation. How can we even say that when the largest percentage are the nuns? That's a sad place to find our country in tonight. Listen, if Dad has been good about sharing the truth of God's Word, be proud of it to the point of emulating it in your life. Now consider something else. Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And this is one that we may not say, may have a hard time saying that we're really proud of. But if we have a hard time saying that we're really proud of this, that also tells us kind of what age we are. Proud that my dad corrects me. If you're an adult child tonight, you look back and you're proud of the fact that Dad corrected you. If you're a child tonight, I ain't proud of that. I didn't like it. You know, grumping about it. And that's okay because all of us grumped about it when we were the kids. We didn't get lit up by our fathers and go, thank you for that. Could I have another? We didn't do that, did we? But we look at it later on in life. Take a look at what the scripture says here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Go to chapter 29. Look at verse 17. Chapter 29 and verse 17. The Bible says here, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Proud that Dad loves me enough to correct me. We recognize tonight, especially if we are adult children, that it is an act of love to have been corrected. Now maybe we say, yeah, but you don't know how I was corrected and it wasn't done in a very loving way. And that may be true. And I think probably every one of us as parents would have to admit that there have been times where we corrected more out of anger than we did out of love. But hindsight is 20/20, and if we did not love that child at all, we would have just let them go to their ways, let them do what they wanted to do, wouldn't have cared about it, just would have said, well, what can you do? Kids are kids and all this kind of stuff. And then we would have just dumped that adolescent problem onto the world as they became adults. You know, there's some really bizarre parenting concepts out there, and through the years, the pendulum has swung, and I think that you can look historically and you can kind of see where this pendulum has swung. It has gone from a time where children in our country were looked at almost as the hired hand. You know, they got old enough to be part of the farm, to be part of the work, and they were treated almost like they were the hired hands. There probably wasn't a whole lot of love and affection and tenderness and all that kind of stuff. And then through the years, the pendulum swung to the point where people were saying, well, I need to be my child's best friend. I am their pal, I am their buddy, and all this kind of nonsense. Well, that's awful too. Because tonight, if you're a parent, you are not your child's buddy. You're not their pal. You're not their best friend. And it's like the pendulum is starting to swing back to a more balanced and biblical way of looking at things, even though the individuals saying it aren't necessarily Christians. For instance, a psychologist that reports for CBS News, psychologist Dr. Jennifer Hartstein, said that parents who become too friendly with their kids are in dangerous waters. She warned, you're never at the same level as your kid. There's a difference. There's a boundary issue there. Once it's crossed, it's really hard to go back. In Psychology Today, Dr. Jay Belsky wrote, when just thinking about the parent's role in the family or when speaking directly to their children, you have to say, I am not your friend. Other children, perhaps even other adults, should be and hopefully are. But I am your parent. Being your child's friend, being your child's best friend, abdicates your role as their parent. And let's face it, there are plenty of people to befriend your child. And hopefully there are other adults that are able to step into that role from a mature, spiritual, parental kind of a role, and they can kind of step in and be more of that friend. But parents, you can't be their friend. You have to be their parent. You have to be the one that is ultimately responsible. You have to be the one that makes the hard and the heavy decisions, because ultimately, as the parent, you and I are the ones that are responsible, and our kids need to have that. So if your dad, and I know mothers do this too, but it's Father's Day, so we're patting dads on the back for this. If your dad disciplines you, you need to be very proud of the fact that they do, that they love you, that they care for you enough to be willing to lay down the law, to set the boundaries, and to divvy out the consequences when it's necessary. Now, in an odd way, we are really proud of that. To the kids, I want to say this. Listen to your parents talk about your grandparents, which were their parents, and the time that they were brought up. And how many times your parents will tell how your grandparents, when Mom and Dad were little, they had their pants pulled down. They had a switch applied to their rear end, where when Dad said, don't make me pull this car over, that meant something. And that put the fear of God into a child. Even to the most heathen child, that put the fear of God into them. And when Dad said that, there was a very good chance, a very good likelihood, that car was going to be pulled over. I remember in church, my dad sitting in the back, and I knew, you better be behaving, because Dad could see everything with his vantage point. You know, there were certain things that you were brought up on. You didn't, when you went to church, you didn't mess around in that pew. You paid attention. You didn't talk to your friends. You didn't start in laughing and giggling and stuff like that. You didn't mess around. You got to go to the bathroom? That's before church. That ain't daring. You sit there. And after church is over, then you can go. And allegedly, I don't even remember this. I must have blocked this out. Evidently, I was taken out one time when I was a little kid. I do not remember that. I'm scarred for life, I guess. I don't remember it. But I never had to be taken out again after that. Did I, Mom? Nope. Because when Dad got a hold of you, you knew something got a hold of you. Something has disappeared in our world today. We need those dads back. We need those dads back in force. We need those dads back that will set the law. And when Dad says something, and you know, it's one of those kind of things where you heard a, or you got the, Dad could shoot that look. You could feel that coming through a wall. Whoa, back of my hair starting to burn. You know, you felt that. That's all it takes. You know what? That's all it took. Where have those days gone? And you know, when your parents tell how the grandparents did it, the parents today, they're not telling this like, oh, I was so abused. I am now warped for life. I've got scars and all this kind of stuff. Or anytime somebody coughs or raises their hand, I flinch, you know. No. Usually they retell those stories, and there's a little bit of smiles and laughter that goes along with those stories, remembering. And I will guarantee you that the average adult will sit here tonight and say two things. Number one, they will say that they probably got some spankings that they really didn't deserve. Amen? Okay, a couple of you are honest, all right? Others will say, there's a lot that I didn't get that I should have got. Amen? Oh, a lot more to that one, yeah. And they don't say that with any kind of fear or regrets or anything like that. It's a good memory. You want to know why? Because it was an era to be proud of. It was a time period to be proud of. It was something far different than what we have today. Proud that a dad loves you enough to discipline you. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. The fifth thing tonight, proud that dad is a gap filler. Proud that dad is a gap filler. What do you mean by that? Well, we'll see it here in the scripture. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 30. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. The Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Ezekiel's recounting here is a very sad time. Could not find anybody to stand in the gap. But then in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6 and verse 8, the Lord says, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for me?" And what does Isaiah say? "Here am I, send me." A gap filler. Many dads achieve hero status for some amazing things that they have done. I've got a picture on my computer from 2016. I don't know what the ball game was, but it was a preseason ball game that was in Florida. And something happened, and the batter let go of his bat as he swung. So full force swinging, and he lets go of that bat, and that bat goes flying into the stands. And the person that caught this picture, you can see this bat coming at the head of this child. This child is probably 6, 7 years old, maybe. And the snapshot of all the people around, I mean, they're pulling up like this, got a leg up in the air, you know, they're cringing and all this, except for this kid's dad. This kid's dad's got his arm up just like this. And that bat deflects off of his arm, ricochets right off of him, and saves his kid from what could have been some serious damage. In 2018, a couple of dads and their boys in Australia were having a Nerf gun war. Those are fun things to play with, right? Don't do that on a balcony. Probably not the best place, but they're having this Nerf gun war. And this little boy, he's about 8 years old, dodged one of the Nerf balls and decided to follow it and get it, try to catch it. And he starts going over this balcony. And a dad instinctively, without thinking about anything about himself, grabs hold of his son. Dad and son ended up going over and making a drop of about 13 feet. Somehow, and you think about how fast this would have happened, somehow this dad wrapped his boy up cocoon style, and dad landed on his head. The boy is safe. And dad was in the hospital. Dad's finally out, but dad has severe skull fracture. The surgery that had to be done, the scarring all around his skull. The C6 vertebrae was shattered. Dad is finally able to walk and to talk. He is still not back to himself, and they're not real sure that he ever will be. But an act of heroism as a dad grabs hold of his son to protect his boy, and the boy is fine. Proud that a dad is a gap filler. Aren't you glad that there are men who will fill that gap? Many of our men would never be in situations like that, but there are many of our men who stood in the gap in defense of our country, serving in the military. And we thank them for their service. Those are gap fillers. There were dads who will be some of the fiercest defenders of their kids against the things that could harm their children. Many times the kids don't understand, why is dad being so harsh? Why is dad being so cold? Why doesn't dad understand? And all these kinds of things. And dad sees the danger that is there and is willing to take the hatred, the animosity, the contempt of a child to protect them. They're willing to stand in the gap. Hero dads will stand in the gap for the things of the Lord, serving in positions and filling holes within the Lord's work where the work needs to be done. There are dads who will stand in the gap, sacrificing their wants, sacrificing their needs to take care of the things that their children need. They will brave their fears and tell others about the Lord. Those are dads to be proud of. Those are dads who stand in the gap. And if you've got a dad that has stood in the gap in your life, let him know that you're proud of him for it. Tell him you're proud. You know, we see our servicemen, and we should do this. This is a great thing to do, but they'll wear their hats or their pins or badges or whatever on their vests and things like that. And we see that serviceman, and we go up to him. We say, thank you for your service. And we should do that. Amen? Take every opportunity that you've got to do it. Tell them thank you for their service. But how many dads have been gap fillers in their children's lives? And if your dad is still alive, tell your dad, thank you. Thank you for standing in the gap in my life. Thank you for being there. One more, Proverbs 22, verse 28. Proverbs 22, verse 28. The last one tonight is this, proud of dads who won't budge. Proud of dads who won't budge. Proverbs 22, verse 28. The Scripture says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. The landmarks mentioned here were ancient property boundaries. Dishonest people would move the markers a little bit at a time at night and would increase their own property line and property dimensions and decrease that of their neighbors. And it was a dishonest thing to do. And there's an admonition, there's other passages of Scripture that says, don't remove those landmarks. Don't remove those boundary markers. Applying this spiritually, boundary markers are constantly being moved. This happens a little bit at a time, step by step, just a little piece at a time. It is very sad and is disheartening to look at church history and to see where church history has gone through the years and how it seems like each decade gets more decadent, more despicable, turning its back on the landmarks that have been set by our spiritual forefathers. Scripture says, don't move those ancient landmarks. Dads are often viewed as inflexible. It's a label that we have to deal with. And while the world sees that as a negative, I think it's a positive, to be honest with you. It's a positive. Consider some scripture that shows the positive side of being inflexible. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my beloved brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Through the years, I've sadly watched men and dads lead their families away from what they have been taught, away from truth, away from standards, away from convictions that they once held. They have led their families, they have led them into that which is more entertaining. They will say, oh, but my faith, I've just matured so much. Or they will use the phrase, my faith has evolved. They don't like that word. I know that by the most just basic definition, that's not necessarily a bad word, but they don't like it because of what it connotates. Evolution. There's nothing good about that. Oh, but I'm more, or the word today that's really the buzzword, I'm progressive. If that's your insurance company, that's one thing. But other than that, Christians, take a stand. Have some standards. Have some convictions. Be the kind of individual. And I am so thankful for different men that I have known in my life. That they were the same the day that I first can remember them from when I was a kid till the day that they died. They didn't have to try to reinvent themselves for the culture. They didn't have to try to be somebody different. They held strong. And they didn't buckle. Be that kind of a dad. Be that kind of a man. There's plenty of wishy-washy people out there. You know, they're like a limp noodle flopping in the wind. Don't be a limp noodle. Be strong. Stand fast. Do we not realize, Christians, that that is a quality of our Heavenly Father? Malachi 3:16, "For I am the Lord, I change not," he says. In Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Yes, human dads, we're not perfect, we're not always right. So on the things where we are definitely wrong in, we do need to adjust. We need to change those things. However, more times than not, the changes that are made are changes that are just made to follow fad, to follow fashion, or just for the sake of doing something different. That's not a quality to have. Stand fast. Stand strong. If you've got a dad that was that kind of a dad, praise God for him and let him know how proud you are of him. Because so many men have been toppled by the times. And if your dad has not been one of those, tell them you're proud of them. Willing to take that stand, even if they're the only one taking it, you're proud that they took the stand. Tonight, are you proud of Dad? I hope so. I hope that Dad meets the things we have seen today. If he does, don't just tell him you're proud of him. Live in such a way that says, I want my life to reflect how proud I am of you. I'm emulating that which I'm proud of. Let the action speak. Dad, if you are living these things, ask the Lord to give you the strength to keep doing it, because it is getting harder and harder and harder in this world to stand strong. It really is. I don't take it for granted. I don't think it is an easy thing to do in this world today, because the vast majority of us Christians, we as a whole, we're trying to swim upstream against a very strong current. Is going the other direction. And we are the minority. We are not the majority. And if you're hoping we're going to be the majority, well, you're hoping for something that isn't going to happen. What's going to happen is we are going to become a less and lesser minority. And it's going to be harder and harder. We've got to take the stand. Will we do that? If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, lost person, Jesus took a stand for you. Actually, he took a cross for you. He gave his life for you. He shed his blood in payment of your sin. He took your sin upon himself. And he paid the price, the penalty in full. And he was buried in that tomb and he rose again from the grave. And tonight, lost person, Jesus Christ wants to save your soul. You say, well, I'm doing fine the way I am. I'm doing my best. I go to church. I'm a good person, all that kind of stuff. Well, if all that stuff is what it took, then why did Jesus even come? Why do you go to Calvary? And if you think, well, no, he had to come to Calvary, and then you're saying that what he did at Calvary wasn't enough? That's blasphemous. What Jesus did at Calvary's cross and at the empty tomb is sufficient. And the question is tonight, will you repent and believe that gospel message? Will you give up trusting all the other things and just give your life to Christ? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed tonight. Heavenly Father, this evening, as we come into this time of invitation, we pray tonight, if there is one here without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that this would be the night of salvation. We pray, Lord, for the Christians. First of all, as the kids. May we emulate those things that biblically we can be proud of in our fathers. And maybe, Lord, there are some here tonight and they didn't have that godly example. Well, what they have is an example of the things not to do. And so, Lord, help us to do the right things using you as the ultimate example. Thank you, Lord, for the dads that are here tonight. Thank you for the homes that are represented. And Lord, I pray that our dads would be encouraged this evening to continue fighting that good fight, even though they may stand alone, to still fight it for you. Have your way in this invitation, we pray and ask in Jesus' name.